Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome back to worship. Again, it's a delight to be with you. And happy Father's Day. I was reading a little book explaining special things about fathers to my granddaughter the other day. It said, Father's Day is a lot like Mother's Day, only a lot less expensive. So happy Father's Day. I hope you enjoy the time together as we worship the Lord. Here's some reminders. Hopefully you know these things, but you need to register each week for one of these three services. Starting tomorrow morning at 10 a.m., you can call the office, or it's very easy to do it on our website. You can click on that one, and that's very easy to do as well. One new thing today is we're opening our library for 15 minutes, the 15-minute time before each of the three services. Again, social distancing and not more than one or two in there at a time, but you've got freedom to go in the library during that time and sign some books out. If you want to give financially, remember, no offering during our services. When you come in, there's boxes by each entranceway attached on a wall. If you've forgotten, on the way out, we'll go out that way. You can drop it in that box, and that's the way we'll be giving financially. We ask that you leave all inside doors open. Don't be closing them, just leaving them open so nobody has to be touching any doors. And if you need to use the bathroom during your time here, please use the ones in the atrium. There's a large women's and men's bathroom there, and you can make your way over there if you need to use that. Coffee kiosk, that's closed for now. Not open yet, maybe at a later time, but remember, social interaction. After the service, the ushers will dismiss you walking out this way, and then you can interact in the parking lot or under the trees for as long as you want to and enjoy that time together. Our newsletter, our Homewood Happenings newsletter, it is online if you want to take a look at that. If you're one that, boy, I don't have anything online access, call the office and we can make sure you get that newsletter. Our call to worship today is found in Matthew chapter 11. It's listening to Jesus pray about his disciples. And Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned, and you've revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Isn't it wonderful that he reveals himself to babes? And that way he is exalted, and we are in our appropriate humble position. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that we can gather together in the name of Jesus today. We pray that you would bring healing to those that need it. And Lord, I pray that we can forget about things that would distract us so we can truly worship you. We can sing with all of our hearts that melody spiritually and physically as well. We can hear what you have to say to us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. It's a great day to be here and sing a couple of great songs of worship. Let's stand and sing hymn number 9, Glorify Thy Name. Father, glorify your name, John 12:28. A song that kind of sings itself. Enjoy it. It's a beautiful song.
Glorify thy name, Lord.
6:3. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. To God be the glory, hymn number 56.
Okay, we'll start with our mission spotlight today. And in the passage we're looking at today, when Jesus prayed, he actually lifted up his eyes toward heaven. And I know we're used to bowing our eyes and looking down, and that's more to keep kids quiet, I think, and not distracted. But if you feel the freedom today, as we're praying, lift up your eyes and look up. Symbolically, we're looking to God to answer in prayer. So I'm going to guide us in prayer and making some suggestions, and you can just be praying as I list these things and then lead us on to the next thing. And so our spotlight today is Wayne and Jeanine Allen. They work with Freedom Ministries, and they've just been able to regather this last week or so. They have an office here in our off of our atrium, and so they're just starting to reschedule with people. We want to pray for that to go well and for God to be working to bring freedom in Christ to these people, whether it's individuals or couples or families that they're meeting with. So, and they just want to praise God they can regather again. Praise God that he knows what he's doing. Pray for them as they're replanning and counseling sessions, and for hearts to be open and soft and moldable. They also were planning on going to Africa. They were going to be heading to West Africa, to Lagos, Nigeria, in August. That's been postponed till November 24th through December 11th. So they're hoping to go back. So let's begin. Let's look up to our Father and pray about this ministry of Freedom Ministries. Let's thank God for our fathers and our grandfathers and our spiritual fathers that have meant a lot to us. Thank God for these men. Let's request that the Holy Spirit will reveal the Father to more people. More people will come to know the Father. And also ask that you can grow in the knowledge of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit as well. And let's pray for unity in the church in this crisis that's happening in our country. What an opportunity for the church to demonstrate what oneness looks like. Heavenly Father, I thank you for hearing us as we call out to you. I thank you for the fathers that you've given us and the grandfathers, the spiritual mentors that you've put before us. Help us to be that to others as well. We pray that we will be one, even as you and the Son are one, that you've made us that spiritually, and we want to show it by the way we relate, regardless of what backgrounds or races we're talking about. May that one new man in Christ be evident in the church, and then rub off on society as well. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen.
Let's stand and read Jesus' holy prayer. He prays a little bit for himself and then for his disciples and then for us. But this kind of makes my mind do backflips that we are hearing Jesus' exact words of prayer. So let's read it all together. After saying all these things, Jesus looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so he can give glory back to you. For you have given him authority over everyone. He gives eternal life to each one you have given him. And this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Now, Father, bring me into the glory we shared before the world began." This is one of those, you may be seated. This is, just to get up in a minute. This is one of those verses and verse passages. Like I said, it makes my mind do black flips. So whenever I'm doing these with Bible study with 10, 11, 12-year-olds, and we get to a phrase or a verse passage like this that just kind of goes, "Whoa, that's over my head." We always have this phrase. It's called, "Break it down." Ready? Ready? Do it. It's kind of fun. Ready? Break it down. What is one of the G? I'm giving a huge hint. What is one of the G words that's used there a lot? Well, one refresher. How about the screen up again? No, that's a good guess. It's always a good guess. There's another one. I'll give you another hint. G-L. Glory. Good job, good job. Some of you had coffee. How do you explain to kids what glory is? How do I explain to me what glory is? Is glory one of those words that are like so big you can't even get your arms around it? Glory is revealing who God is, the character of God, his attributes. The kids have been doing attributes. We send packets once a week. And in the packet this for the summer, they've been getting little cards to decorate with different attributes of God, different characteristics of God. And they're supposed to put them on their refrigerator. And then in July, we're going to have a contest where you take a picture every refrigerator, and I want to see all the attributes. I haven't even hit the glory yet, but we've listed the all-knowing, powerful. Why don't you yell out your favorite attribute? Ready, set, on the count of three. Don't leave me hanging. One, two, three. Powerful, mighty, majestic. You left me hanging. Powerful, majestic, holy, holy, holy. Now, when I think of glory, I think immediately of my mountains in Colorado. I'll share them with you, but they're my mountains. I think of the first time I saw those mountains driving up the Big Thompson, and they were huge, and they were majestic, and I'm hanging my head out the window going, I got to get a bigger view of God. This is just amazing. And I think of sunsets and sunrises, all this nature stuff that I dearly, dearly love. I think of God reflecting his glory, his powerfulness, his mightiness, his bigness. But then I think what God really wants us to look at is the cross. I think where he really reveals glory is in the cross. This prayer was like, what, a couple hours from him being on the cross? And he's praying to please help them show your glory, help show God's glory. And he's looking at the cross. Our cross is way, way up there. Can you see it? But I was thinking, I forgot. I was thinking about three main things. I mean, there's so many things on the cross that he demonstrates. But I was thinking that, first of all, he demonstrates his love for us. I mean, what is love? Sacrificial love, giving without expecting anything back. And that's exactly what God was doing on the cross. He loved us so much. Jesus loved us so much, not expecting anything back, taking all our sins on the cross. I mean, if that again, another backflip in my brain. I can't even get my mind around it. And then I think about justice. And I tell the kids all the time, God takes sin very seriously. Turn to your neighbor, yell it out. Ready, go. God takes sin very seriously. I think sometimes, especially with my grandbabies, I can kind of sweep sin under the rug or kind of look the other way. Aren't they cute? Yeah, he's hitting his brother, but isn't that cute? Anyway, but God does not put sin under the rug. He can't. He's holy, holy, as you said down here. Holy, 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 and he cannot sweep sin under the rug. But love and justice came hand in hand at the cross. Hand in hand. God took our punishment because he loved us. I mean, I think if I was at the cross watching Jesus die, I would go on, I don't get this, God. But he, in his all his wisdom, another attribute, he died for our sin, which brings me to the last attribute that I immediately thought of, and that was power. Now, when we do power in the kids' department, Ava, do you remember what we do? Ready? Ready? We go, power. Ready? Go. Power. Oh, come on. It's really fun. Power. He conquered death at the cross. Okay, was that like worth three backflips in your brain? He conquered death at the cross. He took our sins and he conquered death. Glory, 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 glory. There's a song that we used to sing was, show us your glory, show us your glory, Lord. He did, right there at the cross. So the kids in their praise things today have these little, in their praise bags, have these little crosses. They look really ordinary, don't they? They're black. That's all our sin on them. But when they scratch them, it becomes beautiful and glorious and colorful. And that's God's glory. To the unbeliever, it looks like just a plain old cross. But to God, he's showing all his glory. Now, I had so many requests. We're going to do another song. And my kids in the audience, Miss Ava, get to come up and they get a candy bar for doing this. So will you clap her up? I know that takes a lot of guts. Come help me, come help me, come help me. Yay! Makes my heart so happy. All right, everybody up. You know the deal, right? Pretend you're back in the kids' department. You ready? All right. So good. Want to watch this as well as watch us.
Who's all-knowing, always seeing? My God, draws my breath and gives me being. My God, like wind in the air. I can't see him, but he's there all around me. eternal, everlasting. My God, hears my prayers, whatever I'm asking. My God, He is as He was, what He says He does. I'll trust in Him because He's still the same, He never changes. That's my God, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-holy, almighty. That's my God, unfailing, unchanging, good and wise. And this love so high, so bright, held safe in the crook of my shepherd's rod. I don't need anything as long as I've got my God. He loves me, He knows me. What power may oppose me as long as I'm leaning on, leaning on, leaning on Him? That's my God, that's my God. I'm knowing, I'm seeing, I'm holy, almighty. That's my God, that's my God. I'm standing, I'm changing, good and wise. And this love so high, so broad, held safe in the crook of my shepherd's rod. I don't need anything as long as I've got my God. I don't need anything as long as I've got my God.
My God, my God.
Good job, baby girl. There's your candy bar. I love you.
This passage that we're looking at today in John 17, the first five verses, answers two questions. You take whichever one you want to run with on. What makes a good father? It answers that question. What makes a good father? It also answers the question, what would our Heavenly Father have you pray about? What would our Heavenly Father have me pray about? So it answers the question, what makes a good father? The same passage also answered that question, what would God our Father want me to be praying about? Jesus is praying. It's the longest recorded prayer that we have in the Bible. He prayed for longer time periods than this, but it's the longest recorded prayer that we have. He's praying out loud. He's looking up as they're walking towards the Garden of Gethsemane. Maybe they stop at this point, and he's looking up. So the disciples are listening to this prayer. As he's praying it so sincerely, these first five verses are primarily Jesus praying to his Father about himself. And so here we learn that answer. What makes a good father? What would he have us be praying about? And I think the first element in the answer to that question is that God's glory should be our focus. God's glory should be our focus. Notice in verse 1, Father, that's the way He wants us praying, addressing God, our Father, and talk to Him in that way. The hour has come. Now, you follow through John's gospel. The hour had not yet come. Jesus was safe, and it hadn't come yet. Now that hour of crisis had come. And primarily, as Barb made clear, we're thinking about the cross. And we're thinking about the events that would follow after the cross as well, that crisis moment. And Jesus says, glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. Let me give you a few synonyms for what it means to glorify or be glorified. It means to draw attention to. It means to give credit. It means to honor. It means to magnify. It means to show what someone is like. And then to be glorified means to be in splendor. And so the cross and the events afterwards were giving supreme glory to God the Father and God the Son, because as Barb explained, all of the attributes of God are revealed in the cross. What we come and look at as opposites, which aren't opposites at all, but God being holy and just and loving at the same time, Him being wise and knowledgeable, all the attributes of God are demonstrated in the cross and the events that follow with the resurrection and His ascension and being seated at God's right hand and returning one day in His second coming. They're supremely manifest in this way. And now from a position in glory, the Lord Jesus is bringing more glory to the Father by transforming more and more people's lives who come to believe in Him. So we must realize as we apply this first truth of what makes a good father or what should I pray about is God's glory should be our focus. Our focus in life should be God's glory. And any glory that we receive, we should view as a platform to give glory to the Father. Another element to this answer to this question is God's control should be our confidence. Notice Jesus is glorifying the Father by imparting eternal life to those who believe in him. Brought out in verse 2, even as you gave. Now this is the first of 17 times in this prayer that the word gave will be occurring. A lot of it is the Father giving and Jesus giving. He's the giving God. And so Jesus talking about what the Father has given to him and what he's given, even as you gave him authority over all flesh. Flesh is all human beings, only in our frailty and our weakness. We're flesh. And the Son of God has authority given to him over all of us in our feebleness and weakness, and we think we're so powerful and we're not. And then he adds, in addition to that, that to all whom you have given me, I may give eternal life. There's mystery here. In this sense, the God the Father had these people, which he has given to the Son during his time on earth. And these people come and believe in Jesus Christ, and Jesus gives them eternal life. Really what he's pointing to, in God's sovereignty, he has chosen people. He has predestined people. And these are the ones that the Father is giving to the Son. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 describes it this way: for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, none of us can fully grasp that reality, but it's a wonderful reality that God the Father has given certain ones to God the Son. And they come to believe in the Son, and the Son gives them eternal life. Now, the impact this should have on our lives, first of all, should be great humility and gratefulness. Why, you know, when you come to believe in Jesus, why would I be one that the Father has given to his Son? I don't know, undeserving as I am. But it inspires humility and gratefulness. I think it also inspires confidence, because Jesus says in John chapter 6, verse 39, all that the Father has given me, I won't lose one. And so there's confidence that if I've come to believe in Jesus, he's going to keep me. And I also think it should inspire confidence. I don't know who they are, but I'm going to encounter other people out there in my day-to-day lifestyle that the Father is giving to the Son. And he's going to use you and he's going to use me as a mouthpiece and an influence to bring these people to the Son and have eternal life. A third element of that question, what makes a good father? What should we be praying about for ourselves? What should you be praying about for yourself? Knowing God is our goal. He defines here eternal life in verse 3. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. I love the way Merrill Tenney says it. He says, hey, a worm can be content in soil. But people can only be content and complete in a relationship with God. And if there's something missing, it's because the relationship with God is missing. You're not here for soil or what this world is offering. You're here for a relationship with God. And so Jesus defines, what is this eternal life? It's knowing you, the only true God, against all those other so-called false gods out there. And Jesus Christ, whom you sent. The verb for sent here is one that implies officially sent. Sent with authority. His unique mission. The Father sent the Son into the world to provide the only sacrifice that would provide a means of having eternal life, the only means of eternal life, and the Father sent the Son to do that. But knowing both, making God the Father, God the Son, Jesus co-equals, because eternal life is knowing both and growing in that knowledge of both, that's what it's all about. It begins with a new birth. When you come to faith in Jesus Christ, you're born again spiritually and born in the family of God. And that, since you know him and you know Christ, I'm so grateful on this Father's Day that I have a strong relationship with all four of my children. And I just love that, that we can just connect and enjoy the relationship together. And it keeps growing. And I'm really grateful for that. That's like what it's like with the Father. You come to receive the Son. The Son gives you eternal life. You're in relationship now with the Father, with the Son, with the Holy Spirit, of course, as well. And you know Him, but there's no end to that. There's this continual experience of knowing God. And guess what? With it is increasing discovery of what He's like. You will never fully know God. There will always be more discovery in that relationship. So in a sense, we know Him. We have eternal life if we receive His Son. But in another sense, there's so much more to discover. There's so much more to experience. And that's what eternal life is all about. That's what makes a good man. That's what makes a good father. That's what God would want you to be praying about and seeking that reality. That's your goal. It's not a means to an end. It's the very goal of why you're here, to have that relationship with God. The fourth element that Jesus touches on here is accomplishing His work for us is His purpose. You wonder, what in the world is my purpose? Accomplishing the work God has for you in your life, that's your purpose. You think, I'm feeling kind of empty in purpose. Maybe you haven't taken serious what Jesus is praying about here. More giving on the Father's part to the Son, which the Son did something about. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. Now, Jesus' work was unique that the Father gave Him. But He glorified Him. How so? He obeyed Him. Even up to the point of the cross, He obeyed Him. He showed that the Father is trustworthy, including going through agonizing things that you must do. He showed that the Father is trustworthy. And He glorified Him. He manifested His attributes, what God is like in this life of obedience, which included the cross. And so all the work the Father gave to the Son, He accomplished it. Notice He's assuming in this prayer the cross is done. Even though He hasn't gone through it yet, it's like He's committed to it. It's like it's already done. And He's looking beyond the cross to what's coming afterwards, but He's committed to the cross. And I think the same thing is true. If you know God personally, God has a work for you to do. That's your purpose. And it might be a little bit different than other people. We're each a little bit different in terms of that purpose. But discover what is that work that He has for you to do. And He's already given you the ability, or He will give you the ability, to do the work that He wants you to accomplish. And as long as you're living, there's more work that He has for you to do. And glorify Him by obedience and knowing that He's trustworthy, showing what He's like as you do that work. And you'll find fulfillment in that. That's my purpose. And you find fulfillment in all of that. The last element of what makes a good father and what should we be praying about is being with Him is our destination. We forget this so quickly. We think it's just the next week is our destination. We think that next month or next year, that's our destination. We get down because it's not working out the way that we want it to work out. And we need that reminder, your destiny is to be with Him for eternity. And that's what Jesus refers to in the prayer. Do you feel the conversational element of this conversation? In this prayer, God the Son talking to God the Father, it's not just shotgun style throwing a whole bunch of requests at the Father. It's very conversational. Where He's talking to Him in a very warm fashion, that's where He wants our prayers, where we are talking very conversationally with the Father. And so reflecting on how it was before creation. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Here's an emphasis on glory, splendor. We shared complete, absolute splendor together before the world existed. We shared that glory and splendor together. Now, notice He's looking beyond the cross. The cross is done as far as Jesus is concerned. And He's looking beyond that, going back with the Father. Again, have the long-term perspective in mind, not just the agony. Have how hard it is to obey God. Look beyond that to the glory that follows. And He's looking beyond that. I'm going to come back into splendor with you, and please bring that about. And so I think it's important if we're followers of Jesus that our prayers, that our activities, that our motivation and our struggles, keep in mind that we are destined for glory. And that's where we are going to go one day. In spite of the heartache that might happen, that is where we are intended to go. We are destined for glory. So let's recapture quickly. What is a good father like? What does God want you doing with your prayer life, praying about yourself? And we need to recognize God's glory should be our focus. And then we must realize that God's control should be our confidence. And knowing God is our goal. And accomplishing His work for you and for me, accomplishing His work, that is our purpose. And being with Him, that's our destiny. Let's never forget that.
In Jesus' prayer, we clearly see His heart on display. What He cared about was the Father's glory. And Mark and Barb did an excellent job breaking down this really difficult word for us, that glory is the sum of God's attributes and that we glorify Him by revealing to Him what He's like, revealing to the world what God is like. And as His followers, that needs to be our heart as well, that we should have the heart of Jesus to desire to glorify God, to reveal what He's like. So this is a pretty abstract idea, so let's talk about how do we practically do this. And I felt like the best way to do that was to share two stories. The first story came from a lady I got to know here at this church. She used to always sit over here on the right-hand side. She was sweet as can be. Her name was Marilyn Purvis. She took a huge interest in my life when I was growing up as a student. I was just running around, a high school guy. And she took personal interest in me. And she would invite me over to her house, and we'd talk together, and we'd share life. She talked to me all the time about the power of prayer, that prayer is powerful, that it really does make a difference in this world. And she would always end her conversations asking me how she could pray for me. And she'd have this big smile on her face, and she'd look at me, and she'd say, "Andy, I'm praying for you, guy." That's how it always ended. And I remember one time we were off in college. When I was off in college, she invited me back to her place. And she sat down and she started asking me about college and how expensive it was. And so I shared with her about that. And she's like, I'm not able to drive anymore. So what I decided to do is I actually sold my car and I want to give you the money that I made from my car for your college. And I was blown away. I was like, Marilyn, I mean, if you knew where she lived, she wasn't living high. She was not living high. Very humble place where she lived. But she's like, how can I bless you? How can I help you? And you could just clearly see Marilyn's heart. And I was just so thankful that she took time and cared about me in this way. And when I take a look at Marilyn's life, she had a life that truly did glorify God. That she revealed to me what God was like. That God is a God of generosity. And there's a psalm I've been memorizing, Psalm 36, 5 through 9. We see some of the attributes of God on display. And I love what it says. 36, and this would be verse 8. It says, "They feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your rivers of delight." And I just think about the generosity of God when I see this picture of feasting. And that was Marilyn. She was so generous with what she had with me, and even with her time as well. And I also see within Marilyn how God personally cares about each one of us. Because I was just a high school kid here at Homewood. But she took personal interest in my life, wanted to know how she could pray for me. And it just makes me think of Psalm 139, how God knows each and every aspect of all of our lives. And there's another story that made me think about what it looks like to reveal what God is like, to give Him glory through our lives. And that actually happened just a few months ago. My two younger brothers, Matthew and Michael, were going to work out at a camp in North Carolina, not North Carolina, but in Colorado. And they were really excited about it. They committed over 6 months in advance to when the start date. And then COVID happened, and they started getting nervous as time approached for camp. They're like, man, is this really going to work out? So they gave the camp director a call, and they asked him, like, hey, is this still going to be a go for the summer? A lot of things are being canceled. We don't know if camp is going to be. And the camp director reassured him that they're going to go and look, and they're going to look forward and act like everything's going to continue to be. And they're like, okay. So they kind of sat with nervous anticipation. And as they were sitting with nervous anticipation, they ended up getting a call from their former job, which was out at the Quad City Airport cutting grass. And they said, hey, we're looking for someone who can come and start working at the early of May and into August. So they would have been able to make about $5,000 per person taking this job. And that's really good if you're a college kid, because it is hard to find temporary work. So their minds are spinning at this point. They're like, man, do we really stay true to this commitment that we already made to this camp that is kind of looking iffy at best, or do we take this job? So they spent a lot of time praying, a lot of time seeking wise counsel, and this is where they landed. They're like, okay, what we want to be is we want to be men who are faithful to our word. We want to be faithful. So we're going to give the camp director a call. And if he says that he wants us to honor our commitment, then we're going to do that. We're going to be faithful. But if he understands and sees that this that camp's probably not going to happen and going to release us from this commitment, then okay, we'll take the job at the airport. So he gave the, they gave the camp director a call. And was like, hey, is camp really going to happen? We just got this job opportunity. We want to be faithful to our commitment, but we really need to know if camp is going to happen. And the camp director said, Matthew, Michael, please... please stay true to your commitment. And they're like, okay, we will. So they gave the camp, they gave their old job a call and was like, hey, we've made a commitment. We're going to stay true to it. 2 weeks later, they got a call from the camp, and it was canceled for the summer. And the reason I share that story with you is because when I look at Matthew and Michael's life, I see a picture of what God's like. It's so clear. In our world today, people are so fickle when it comes to their commitments. Staying true to their word is something that you don't see very often in our world today. And it made me think of a verse in 2 Timothy where God, where Paul is talking about God. And this is in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. And he's talking about God. He says, if we are faithless, God, he remains faithful. He cannot disown himself. That God is a faithful God even when we are unfaithful. Matthew and Michael were faithful to their word even when their camp director was unfaithful. And I just thought that was such a beautiful illustration of what it looks like in our world today to reflect what God is like, to be a person, to be men and women who keep our commitments and honor him through that. So I wanted to challenge us. How can we glorify God? How can we reveal what he's like today in a broken and hurting world? Maybe it's being patient with a sibling that drives you crazy because God is a God of patience, and that can be so tough. Maybe it's being there for a friend who's deeply hurting and showing that God is a person who walks with you no matter the circumstance. And, or maybe it's standing up for truth and justice today in our world when there is so much hurt and pain going on. So I just wanted to challenge you. What does it look like for you to reveal the glory of God? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for this time to gather together and to understand what it looks like to give you glory. And God, we pray that we would have your heart, that we would desire to reveal what you are like to this world in the way we in the way that we live. In your name we pray. Amen.
Our closing hymn is hymn number 781, Face to Face. Let's stand and sing.
Behold him far beyond the stars.
Thank you so much for gathering us with us today for worship. And our ushers are going to dismiss you row by row. And once again, just like last week, we're going to enter out through the door on my right, your left, head out into the parking lot and have fun reconnecting with each other. And let me close this once again with prayer. God, we thank you for today. We thank you for this time to be together. And God, we pray that you'd be glorified with our lives. In your name we pray. Amen.